This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. NASA announced on Wednesday that the Mars rover Opportunity had not responded to months of messages, and the mission is officially over, an astounding 15 years after completing its initial 90-day mission. Opportunity provided some of the first and best evidence that Mars was once home to liquid water and could have supported life. More recently, Mars rovers have become Twitter personalities, and Opportunity's demise has been met with obits and tributes. With all the emotion around the end of Opportunity, we got curious about the people who spend years of their careers on these indefinitely extended missions. Lauren Edgar is one of those. She's a research geologist at the USGS Astrogeology Science Center, and she leads geology and mineralogy efforts at the Mars Science Lab. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
What was Opportunity's original 90-day mission? What was it there to do?
I was there to look for evidence of water on Mars. And fortunately, you know, within the first few days of being there, we started investigating what was known as the Burns Formation back at Eagle Crater and found, you know, abundant evidence of, sedimentary rocks, and some of which showed evidence for flowing water on Mars. So it was an early success and went on to do a lot more exciting science after that.
I would say a home run right out of the gate. And then not just 90 days, but 15 years. I mean, that's a huge extension. And of course, its twin sister Spirit went for, 6 years? They both went far longer than expected. And I have to wonder, when you're planning what these rovers are going to do next, I mean, you get to the end of the 90 days, you've spent years preparing for that mission. Do you plan for the next day, week, year? How far in advance do you actually plan activities for a rover that's constantly on borrowed time?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. So at Meridiani Plenum, we had, you know, a series of impact craters that we kept expanding our sites, you know, further and further to more distant locations. So you have kind of a longer term plan of where you might end up months from now. But then we also will have a long term plan of kind of what will happen that week on Mars. And then when you go in to do operations, you're dealing with just the daily operations that day. What's happening? How does it fit into the longer term objectives? So it's kind of exciting to see as the mission progressed, you know, how we set our sights even further away, 45 kilometers later.
Well, Lauren Edgar, you keep saying, you know, we did this in the first 90 days, but when Spirit and Opportunity landed on Mars, you were in college, right? I mean, did you already think at that point that this is what you were going to do with your career was Mars rovers?
I don't think I realized it at the time. So I was definitely fascinated by space exploration. And, you know, I remember watching the landing when I was a college freshman and had a picture of Victoria Crater taped to my dorm room wall. but, you know, so back then, right, I wasn't involved, but I knew that I was interested in this kind of field. And so that's really what encouraged me to go on to grad school and pursue a career in planetary science. And I worked with John Grotzinger at Caltech. And that's right when I got involved in operations in 2007 when I started there.
They were already somewhat on borrowed time, past their 90-day mission at that point. I mean, this has been your entire career is in this extended phase of Spirit and Opportunity. What does that feel like from your perspective? How uncertain is that?
Yeah, well, I will say it was, you know, pretty exciting as a grad student to come on fairly late in the mission at that point, 3 years after we landed, but to have a significant role in some of the science that we were doing. You know, a lot of the more senior members had gotten what they had wanted out of this mission and were still involved, but were allowing early career folks to have a bigger say in some of the science campaigns. So I think that was a very advantageous time to come on, and certainly never expected it to, you know, last for 15 years.
So then what does it feel like now that it is officially over?
Yeah, I would say it's bittersweet. You know, it was an emotional end, I would say, for most members of the team. We knew this day was coming, and I really do feel like this was the right way that this mission would end. You know, we worked hard. We were operating that spacecraft until the very last day that we could not operate it anymore. And so it really is fulfilling to think of, you know, this being the end of that mission as opposed to some other cause. And then, you know, it's a good time to reflect on some of the highlights from the mission. And I think everyone has their own, you know, favorite stories and favorite science campaigns. And so there was a celebration at JPL earlier this week, you know, highlighting some of those.
And what's your favorite?
One of my favorites is that I happened to be on duty the day that we arrived at Marathon Valley, and so I was in charge of commanding the navigation cameras to take, you know, our end of drive mosaic of what does the site look like. And essentially it was, you know, the photo finish of this marathon distance, the first time we've driven that far on another planet. And so I think that that was, you know, one of those more spectacular moments for me, realizing how far we had come and still seeing ahead everything that we had to explore along the rim of Endeavour Crater.
Well, Lauren Edgar, Opportunity is not the only rover that has ever gone to Mars. I mean, there are currently, there's another Mars rover still in action, paid tribute on Twitter to Opportunity. And there's another rover set to go next year in 2020. So where does Opportunity fit in that continuum? How much has it contributed? And what happens going forward with more of these rovers?
Yeah, I'd say one of the big things that came out of MIR was recognizing the need for mobility on Mars. You know, that what we can get out of roving vehicles as opposed to landed vehicles on Mars. And so you kind of see that legacy with the Curiosity rover and the Mars 2020 rover that's in development. And we've also learned better ways to do operations and different, you know, science campaigns that have come about. Some of the questions that arose from Opportunity, we could test at the Curiosity landing site. And so I think that that's, you know, one of the ways you can see the legacy of this mission moving forward.
When we talk about the scientific legacy of Opportunity and all of the evidence of past water on Mars and the potential for Mars to have been hospitable to life in the past, and then you say also, you know, that you were very early in your career and lucky to be able to jump into this mission and start kind of taking charge of what the science was that was being done at a very early point in your career. Do you think that was in part made possible by the fact that Opportunity had already completed its assigned mission? Were things a little bit more experimental, a little bit looser, a little bit more open because of this extended mission?
Absolutely. And I think you've seen that, you know, with a lot of missions that we've sent to Mars, you know, early on, it's high priority, making sure that you accomplish the mission that you set out to achieve. And being able to do that early then opens up the door to other investigations and other early career scientists as well.
I read last week that Elon Musk has announced the price tag that will be attached to a commercial round trip to Mars when he gets to that point. Having spent so much of your career studying Mars from afar through these rovers, do you want to go?
Absolutely. I was saying that, you know, I look forward to the day that we visit Meridiani Plenum as a Martian monument, you know, and you see, you know, these sites that we've invested so much time and effort into. Can you imagine standing there and seeing this rover that you've worked with and known for so long? That'd be pretty epic.
I understand there's a little bit of a lighthearted debate about where Spirit and Opportunity's final resting places should be, whether or not they should ever be brought back to Earth if that opportunity, should ever arise. What do you think? Should they stay where they are on Mars or should they come home to Earth?
I like the idea of them, you know, being on Mars. That's, you know, where they essentially were born, landed, you know, had this whole career. They are true Martians and they are what made us Martians. So, you know, we go to work on Mars every day when we go to operations. So it seems only fitting that they would stay there.
Lauren Edgar is a research geologist at the U.S. Geological Survey's Astrogeology Science Center, and she leads geology and mineralogy efforts at the Mars Science Lab. Lauren, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you for having me.